afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros. Rop, that's me.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
So much going on. We haven't talked a stitch of NFL.
God.
Because, you know, we've had so much local stuff.
What is happening?
And then cats and, you know.
They're eating the pets.
They're stealing the pets. Although they're some people are saying that cat story is fake news.
So I got to tease a couple things here. We had Dwayne Hankins on The Fan earlier today. Now, who says we only play fart drops? Okay? Yeah. Who says that?
We only have like two fart drops.
Yeah. We only have like two.
Mm-hmm.
That one and this one.
We purged the farts.
So Danny and Dusty, well, actually three. That. So Danny and Dusty had Dwayne Hankins, president of the Blazers, on earlier on their show.
Mm-hmm.
We just had Craig Cheek of Portland Diamond Project on for all the big news, all the big headlines today. So if you missed either of those interviews and want to get caught up, you can download those interviews anywhere you get your podcasts. You can download them on the Odyssey app or 1080thefan.com. Okay?
Yeah.
So we don't just sit here and play farts all day, even though we kind of do.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny when we do, but we don't.
We don't.
We're serious.
Serious sports talkers.
Serious.
RJ saying, my friend had to have an American truck, so he bought a GMC while I bought a Toyota. He loved to find out that my Toyota was built in Texas while his GMC came from Mexico.
There was a guy today driving behind me, and he was in a Dodge. And I wanted to take a photo of it, but you know me taking photos of American guy, it kind of makes me nervous. Kind of makes me nervous. Plus, I was driving. I didn't want to fiddle with my phone. The American flag, and this is in downtown Vancouver, if anyone can confirm this,
yeah,
about
flags.
11 o'clock. It was in an older Dodge, like Dakota pickup. The flag was so massive in the back of his car that it had to be like wires from the flagpole were attached to the top of his truck in order to stabilize the flag. I've never seen anything quite like it.
His truck's bald, yeah!
As far as I know, it's the largest flag I've ever seen in the back of a pickup truck. That thing had to be, there's no way he could go through like a bridge with that thing. It had to be like eight, 9 feet tall. It was enormous. I've never seen a flag suspended by wires that had to be anchored down to the top of a truck.
Mm.
And then his back window was also the decal, like the whole back window was an American flag. Because, you
cool.
know, well, if the 9-foot American flag didn't let you know, the back of his window would. These colors don't run. Just so you know.
Coming up this hour, sounds like you want to get some NFL stuff. I concur.
Well, I just think it's interesting. I mean, here we are.
Yeah.
We haven't had a minute to talk about the NFL.
What is with all this local sports news?
I know.
We can't have that.
That's like horseradish.
We're waiting for UNLV to do something, and then we'll probably have more local news.
UNLV could be joining the Pac-12 soon.
No one knows.
We do now know why Dan, I always want to call him Dan Lanning, Dan Campbell was doxxed. We know who did that.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
I hope someone bites this doucher's kneecap off. Did you hear the reason why he did it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we'll get to that. And then, boy, how about my guy, Jaden Daniels?
I'm going to push back on this one just a little bit.
What?
Not letting Isaac claim Daniels.
Hall of Fame. My guy. That's my guy.
Ryan Clark, anyone else? Can we just
breathe? It was a nice game.
It was an amazing game. Can we breathe?
He's doing something that a whole bunch of legends haven't, so.
He is him! I thought Ryan Clark was going to have sex to the telestrator last night. Did you watch any of it?
I would not want to watch Ryan
I saw
Clark
his suit.
Have sex with them.
I saw his tangerine-colored suit.
Yeah, where does he dress, more importantly?
It's got to be a custom clothing.
That is
I like me some Ryan Clark, but I really thought that he was going to hump the telestrator. And by the way, go back and watch that clip. You can find it on SportsCenter with Van Pelt. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that he is about to make sweet, sweet love to the telestrator of Mr. Daniels. It was...
Would that have been higher ratings than the Dolphins and...
Yes. I think that would have...
I mean, the Bills and Jags.
That would have... I'll tell you what. I think it would have been more interesting to watch how he went about it in that suit than watching the Jags. Doug Peterson Firewatch, by the way, in 3, 2, and 1.
Yeah, they seem like a mess. Anyway, we'll get to some of that stuff and all the big local news. Coming up tonight in the club, best pizza city is now Seattle?
What? I thought it was us.
Dude.
We've lost the airport and now, you know, the pizza?
We can't have nice things here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's enough teasing. Who knows what we'll get to, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre announces during a congressional hearing that he was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. And while I do sympathize with anyone that has that terrible disease, what else find it weird that he's like getting grilled for being a terrible human being that commits fraud and everything else, and he just happens to do the, I happen to have Parkinson's.
At this point, he's looking for any sympathy he can. Most people know he's kind of a piece of garbage.
It felt like a little bit of a sympathy thing, and that rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, I wish him all the best, because that's, again, is a terrible disease, and we know that you can contract Parkinson's from head trauma, and Brett certainly has had a lot of it, but... I don't know, it just felt like that. Yeah, I'm getting grilled over the fraudulent, the business ventures and all that, but hey, you can't be mad at me because I got Parkinson's.
He was testifying about Mississippi state funds earmarked for needy families paying for his investment in a concussion drug called Prevacis.
Yeah, and he tried to claim that it was all in good faith and he knew nothing about it. Dude, you are scum.
Yeah, he claims he did nothing wrong. He did not know the state money he received was for needy families, and there are no charges against him. But he has Parkinson's.
Number four.
I don't want you to have Parkinson's, but you're a terrible human being.
Well, the Mariners won last night, and so that puts them at the start of tonight only a game and a half out of a wild card spot.
Look out.
So it's a wild race between the Mariners and the three teams in the AL Central, the Royals, the Tigers, and the Twins. Right now, the Royals are playing in Washington. They are scoreless in the third, but they have the bases loaded. And the Tigers won today, 2-1 over the Rays. So pressure is on the Twins, who are losing to the Marlins 4-0.
Dude, the Royals have lost 7 in a row.
Yeah,
what is happening to your Kansas City Royals?
Where's Bubby?
Bubby! They're playing terrible, but they can still pull it out. We'll see. Mariners Astros again tonight, about to get underway.
The Astros just need to win one and they clinch. Yeah. So the division is no longer in play. Obviously, the wild card is what matters.
Number three.
The Mountain West is now on the brink of complete dissolution thanks to the Pac-12. UNLV is holding the key, and their decision is expected soon, although we've yet to hear. Yahoo reports that if the Rebels defect to the Pac-12, the Mountain West could cease to exist, meaning no exit fees and other penalties for the dearly departed. Meanwhile, the Mountain West, who requested $43 million in poaching fees from the Pac-12 for the first four schools who left, the Pac-12 has now filed suit in federal court challenging those fees.
How dare the Mountain West ask for the very agreement that the Pac-12 signed less than a year ago and is three games into that agreement and violated it. I mean, that's silly, but I mean, if you get the Mountain West to collapse, that would be the best thing that would happen to the Pac-12. It sucked for the Mountain West, but then you could take the money that you would save, which is, you know, $100 million, and then go and try to make another play for the American Conference teams, the Tulanes, Memphises of the world, and there would have the group that you wanted originally. So this may end up working out to the detriment of Mountain West, but the best case scenario for the Pac-12, we shall see. And if UNLV stays, welcome North Dakota State or Montana. I mean, it's kind of sad.
Portland Diamond Project has reached an agreement to buy the long-vacated Zidell Yards property next to the OHSU tram. It's only 33 acres, but that's smaller than where San Francisco placed their ballpark. Puts it right on the Willamette River with views of the city and Mount Hood. The plan would be parking and infrastructure on the east side of the river with use of the Tillicum Crossing Bridge to access the stadium. Major League Baseball is expected to expand sometime in the next 5 years. This group still wants to buy Redtail from the city of Portland in order to make it all pencil. They want to develop that as well. So we had Craig Cheek on earlier. If you want to hear the details of everything,
I think it's worthwhile going back and listening. Yeah. I thought he was pretty honest and upfront.
Yeah. If you want to hear where they're coming from, I'd check out that interview. It's on the Odyssey app or 1080thefan.com or all that stuff. Yeah. You know,
you can find it.
YouTube maybe.
There you go. Twitch. Anywhere you listen to this dumb program.
Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one,
your Portland Trailblazers stealing the show today. It's kind of been a poorly kept secret.
Blazers.
But officially broken by one Danny Moran.
The Blazers quadruple their broadcast reach in Oregon and Washington with a new TV deal they signed with Sinclair. Now, a lot of people in town thought it was going to be Fox 12, and I happen to think that Fox 12 thought it was going to be Fox 12. But it's KATU. Sinclair's network of stations in the Northwest includes K2 in Portland. It will be called the Rip City Television Network, and that will launch January 1st. That'll be a whole other channel, but I don't want to confuse everyone. Look, this basically means you can get Blazer games with the cable or satellite service that offers Sinclair stations like K2, or just even if you have an old-fashioned antenna, you'll be able to get the Blazers now. For streaming, they've created Blazer Vision, which is $120 for the season or $19.99 per month beginning November 1st. That can be accessed via NBA.com or the NBA app.
And by the way, all the games will be on unless they're nationally televised, and there's one nationally televised game. So you will get 81 games over broadcast television.
Yeah.
This is the best thing that the Blazers have done in years. It makes total sense. Stop chasing a few pennies on these crappy TV deals where no one can see them and put this out to the masses. And that's what happens. You lose 60%+ of your TV audience. You figure it out. Hey, we haven't been very good in a while. We better make this readily available. So kudos to them for figuring this out.
You guys will most likely be able to see all 11 of their wins.
They'll have more than 11.
19.5, the over-under.
14 of their wins. 19.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, dipped way down from last year.
Ooh.
I think, is that right? Was it 19.5 or is it? Oh, maybe it's 22.5.
It's low enough where my biggest bet of the year last year was the Blazers under, and that thing was a lock. It was a nice payday. Me and Buck have both decided that we are not engaging in the over-under this
21
year.
21 this year.
No,
it's way too low.
It's way too low. We don't know how much tanking's going to want for Cooper Flag. At this point, you just stay away, but know the assignment. It's capture the flag.
All right, there's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. A little more on the Blazers' new TV deal. And we now know why Dan Campbell, or who, doxed Dan Campbell. We know that now.
Yeah, he's an ass. Not Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell is not an ass.
I love Dan Campbell.
He's great.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back on The Fan. All right. Yeah, I was going back looking at the Blazers TV rights history.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, and you know this better than I, having grown up here,
mm-hmm.
how sordid that is.
It's just really dumb.
It's
never been good.
It's never been good.
No.
I mean, you can go all the way back to the 80s,
yep.
where people had to go watch on closed circuit TV at bars.
Yes, absolutely. We had a little local one where every now and then we'd go and there was a pizza place that had it that we'd go and watch games. Blazer Vision was the biggest horse crap of all time. It was $150, if I'm not mistaken, for 20 games.
Well, that was in the 90s though, right?
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, you're skipping over a whole decade where I think they were with coin, but they would only show away games because they wanted people to go to the games.
Yep.
So that was a mess.
Yep.
And then in the 90s, yeah, Blazer Vision. I hear horror stories about the old Blazer Vision.
Yeah, and you had to have a cable box. And that was, like, I've told that story, but that's where my dad sought it out. My dad bought an illegal cable box because he was so, my dad was a big Blazer guy, and he was so mad about the TV deal. And, you know, I don't know what that would be like in 1991, but $150 for 20 games, you couldn't, like, imagine doing that now at $150 for 20 games. It's $120 for the entire season in this new streaming option. Dude, back then, that was highway robbery. And my dad was like, F this, I'll never spend a dime. In fact, that kind of, like, that almost killed my dad's fandom. Like, he was never quite the same after that. It really bothered him.
Well, some of their games then were on KGW as well.
Yes.
But then you move into...
And by the way, it was kind of a big deal. When you got the KGW game, you're like, oh, hey. Like, hey, Blazers. Because back then, like, and people think about, like, Major League Baseball, kids don't understand this. Dude, back in the day, you didn't get to see your team. Like, those games were not like your favorite college football team, your NFL team, your NBA team.
It was a special treat.
Yeah, it was not just like, here's all the games. It was a different time.
So then you fast forward to the early 2000s where they had the Action Sports Cable Network, and AT&T refused to put them on because AT&T's a bunch of asses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, carriage fees and all that crap. So yeah, so people had to go to bars to watch it. I mean, then that folds. I get one season that folds. Then it goes to Root, which was then FSN Northwest. Yep. And then it goes to Comcast Sportsnet Northwest, and that was in 08, 07. And we find out that a lot of the state can't get that.
Couldn't even get it.
Because it's not on the satellite.
Yeah, even if you wanted to get it, a lot of places outside of Portland didn't have that option.
God, and that, I remember us, we were on the air at that time, and we bitched up a storm about that. Like, this cannot stand. Oh, well, it did for freaking 15 years. They did that for 15 years.
Yeah. And now here we are. I just remember just...
Well, no!
Well, now you got...
Then they went to Root. They're like, "Oh, we're going to go up to Root." And then you're getting shoved off of Root by the Kraken.
I loved the first time when I had Comcast. I remember the first time going home and looking for the game and being like, "Wait, what? Like, where's the Kraken? The Kraken are on." And then searching for the Blazer game. It normally, like, when you have two channels, like ESPN, ESPN2 or whatever, they're side by side. Dude, the Root Plus channel was so far away. It was like in the thousands. Like, finding that thing was an absolute nightmare. And there were times when the Kraken weren't even on. It was like Kraken a related programming or something. And the Blazers wouldn't be on it. That thing was, and by the way, that led to, what was it? Almost, was it between 60 and 70%, depending on who you talk to? TV viewership was down last year, which led to eventually this.
So now, so you could say that in the history of the Portland Trail Blazers, beginning this season, one of their worst teams that they will ever have will actually be the most accessible in the history of the franchise.
It not
for you to watch.
Yes,
not, this is the best TV deal they've ever had.
Not even close.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
So they're going to air on KATU DT2 in Portland.
Yes,
whatever the hell that means. But then come January 1, KUNP is going to be Rip City Television. Mm-hmm. It's a Univision station. They're going to flip it January 1st, and so you'll be able to watch all the games there. And then Blazer Vision is direct to consumer, so you can just buy that through NBA TV or the NBA app, mm-hmm. and NBA.com.
And someone asked, like, what if I'm down in Bend? You'll get it too. The Sinclair has stations, whatever you think of Sinclair. Sinclair has stations basically all throughout the Pacific Northwest. So if you're in Oregon and Washington and you have a way to get broadcast television, whether it's on an antenna or YouTube TV or Hulu or any of that, you will have this.
Yeah.
They're really, I mean, with the exception of maybe someone that just lives out in Timbuktu, this should be accessible to just about anyone that wants to see the Portland Trail Blazers. It's the same thing that Phoenix did. And by the way, this is by far the worst financial deal for the Blazers.
For sure.
But when you look at the TV deals, I was always shocked at how little these regional TV deals were for teams like the Blazers and the Rockets and the Astros and stuff. And it shocked me how many sports teams were willing to screw over half of their fan base for just a few million dollars. You're not even a mid-level exception player. You couldn't buy Gary Trent Jr. for what you're getting out of these TV deals and screwing over fans. So thank God someone finally figured it out that, like, hey, in the grand scheme of things, guys, losing a couple million bucks for our fans to be able to see us, that actually may be a better deal for us in the long run.
Yeah, I wonder if this would be different if the team were good and relevant.
Yeah.
I don't think it will. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, they've had a lot of turnover there in the front office and, of the Blazers, and it sounds like somebody over there. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Dwayne Hankins. Maybe it's somebody. I don't know. But somebody over there is pretty forward-thinking.
Yes.
And they actually get it. But if the Blazers were good, because, I mean, they're so scared of being so irrelevant now that they kind of have to do this.
Yes.
What if they were really good? It was the height of the Damian Lillard era, and somehow you got Jimmy Butler on the team. You know, like everybody, like Blazer Mania was at a fever pitch.
Yeah.
Would they still do this? I'd like to think they would.
I think so. Well, here's the thing. If you had a 60 to 70% TV drop, you would. I mean, that, let's be honest, that's the catalyst behind this. And it was no mystery. When those numbers came out, everyone, and I mean everyone, including the Blazers front office, went, oh, F. You can't have that. You just can't. And then Phoenix had a monster. Phoenix, like, quadrupled their TV ratings when they went to broadcast TV. So, you know, yes, if they were good, this would be a harder pill to swallow. But if they were good, would they have a 60% TV drop?
Yeah. I mean,
it's tough to know.
It wouldn't have been quite that high, but I still don't think, I think they would have been hard. Yeah. It would have been hard for people to see him.
It would have been a sliding scale, but make no mistake about it. If the numbers were good, this doesn't happen. But, you know.
Well, this is going to be great. If they ever get good, this is going to be a home run.
Yes.
Because
it's be massive.
Once you get good, that's when you start. Because Hankins mentioned it on Danny and Dusty today. He said, you know, we're really thinking about the next generation. Kids growing up in this area, they need to be able to watch the team. And when you get a transcendent player like Damian Lillard that kids want to watch, it has to be easy for them. You can't, like, it's amazing how for the longest time you could be a young kid growing up in Oregon, somewhere in Oregon, maybe even Portland, and you could not watch the team that you want to watch.
It's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yes.
And that's how you lose fans and you lose generations of fans. You do that long enough, you're gone. The city, mm-hmm. you don't have a team. So I thought it was good that he mentioned the importance of that, where, hey, it's just being accessible. So once they're good, if they're ever good, so many people are going to be looking for them, and it's going to be easy for them to find them, and they will, in turn, they will make way more money that way than they would just selling a deal to Root and getting shoved down to Root Plus or whatever the hell that was. What a joke.
That was the worst. For Kraken, imagine getting bumped for the Seattle, a hockey team from 3 hours away. It really is.
It's crazy.
It's just unbelievable.
So nice work, Blazers.
Yes.
You finally did something right.
Well, look, we're critical of them, but when they do right, you're critical of them because they deserve it. But when they do something right, give them their flowers.
Yep.
And I think this is a big old kudos and a Barry Horowitz on the back.
That's right.
Wonderful. Just marvelous.
Basketball coverage on the Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, we now know who doxed Dan Campbell. We'll get to that next. Here's Buck.
I love when Rob's late for a segment that we've just now gone to playing the most horrific rock drops that there are. Those are good times. Someone, by the way, brings up, we were talking about like the olden days of having to try to watch the Blazers. And yes, I have stood in this line too. People forget that when the Blazers playoff tickets came out, the old G.I. Joes would have an overnight line. You would show up to a G.I. Joes at like 3:30, 4 in the morning so that you could be in line to buy the best Blazer playoff tickets. All the olden days.
God.
Kids don't appreciate that. I remember, like, we did that for concerts, too. My first concert I ever saw was Billy Joel, and I slept out overnight at a G.I. Joe's to make sure that I got the best seats possible.
Here's a text to the Vancouver 4 text line I'd like to read. It says, loving sports and being a fan of the city in Portland can be pretty doom and gloom sometimes. Not today.
Yeah.
It's been a damn good day.
And if the UNLV thing actually breaks and the Pac-12 kills the Mountain West and gets what they want, I know that's not a great day for the Pac-2, for the Beavs and Cougs, but it would be the best possible outcome at this point. So, you know, it's been a pretty rosy day.
Yeah. So
it's like 80 degrees outside. It's nice, sunny.
Recapping our interview with Craig Cheek, he said basically just the gist of that is that while the city wants a ballpark, like Ted Wheeler mainly, wants a ballpark in Portland, they weren't in love with the red tail idea.
Yeah.
It seems like this is a nice little compromise where the Portland Diamond Project can still try to buy red tail from the city. They're working on that. and they can develop that and get some cash flow. But the Zidell yards, it sounds like Jay Zidell, who's the Zidell family,
yeah,
that owns that land. Jay's the main dude. It sounds like he's kind of had he's just come down on his price,
yeah,
over time. And, you know, it kind of came back into play. It's right down in there on the water, right by the tram, OHSU. So they can buy that. And he said 3 to 4 weeks out. And then you buy that, you develop Redtail. The city gets what they want by getting a ballpark in the city, not out at Redtail. But Portland Diamond Project gets what they want by having the big plot out at Redtail to develop into whatever it is they can, you know, condos, retail, sure, whatever. And then they get the downtown ballpark, yeah, right on the water.
But he basically said that it was an agreement between the city that the city's not going to sell your Redtail without you putting a ballpark in downtown. Lloyd said it doesn't work, so you pivot to this. Everyone gets a win. But I think the other thing that's interesting, he said, is they are in a hurry to get this done before the changeover in city leadership. And so I actually think that's a pretty good deal if you're a fan of baseball, because that kind of puts some things in motion. And, you know, you put some money down, you buy the properties. And he did say that they were willing to buy this, so that they were going to buy this even without a guarantee of getting a Major League Baseball team. So, look, I know a lot of skepticism remains with some people about this, but I think this is a fairly significant step.
Be a really cool place for a ballpark, I'll tell you that. Yes, it would. Man, right on the water down there. Yeah. And think about what they're doing over at OMSI and sort of, you know, the infrastructure over there and getting people down there and then foot traffic over to the park. Like, it could be a very vibrant, you know, within the next 5 to 10 years, could be a very vibrant area down there, right on the water, which we've always complained here is like Portland doesn't do anything on their waterfront. It's, yeah, really weird.
Yeah.
But this could be the start of it.
Well, and he talked about, you know, maybe having a ferry and you've already got some infrastructure with the bridge, you know, coming in, and there's a max line that goes in front of where the ballpark would be.
Yeah, he said there could be 8 ways you could get to this, get to a game at that stadium.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And I think, you know, the other thing that's worth mentioning is, you know, the Portland Diamond Project, because people are always going to be like, well, we've heard this before. Of course you've heard this before. They've been trying for years.
Yeah.
And the point here is that they're still trying. It's just that I think that the thing that may be a little different, it sounds like Portland is kind of trying to figure it out, right? Yeah. Like, I, for the longest time, was a skeptic, not because of the Portland Diamond Project. I think that's a really good group. I know they have financial backing, big time financial backing, and I think they're really smart and going about it the right way. It's just dealing with Portland is so tough, mm-hmm, and I just thought maybe Portland's just not going to get it. They're not going to get it done. Remember when Vera Katz was the mayor?
Yeah,
you know, this group and Vera Katz probably would have been a good marriage and maybe could have got something done, assuming the timing worked with MLB. But I've always been a skeptic of Portland getting anything done, but I sort of feel like they're starting to shift because of everything that's happened that's been bad for the last 4 or 5 years.
You need some wins.
They're starting to figure out that bringing Major League Baseball or something like this, mm-hmm, can really be the catalyst to redefine the city and reinvigorate the city, mm-hmm, and get people downtown. They need things like this.
Well, you
I feel like they're starting to get it. I feel like Ted Wheeler has always sort of gotten it, but I think he's getting the rest of the city council and everybody on board, which is why it's important to get this stuff done
now,
pretty damn quick, because a lot of those people are going to be, well, Wheeler's leaving,
yeah,
and city council is going to have some turnover.
When you look, I don't know how anyone can say, like, look at what's been done with Providence Park down there with the Timbers, and now the concerts with, you know, Foo Fighters, Green Day's coming, all the different concerts. Is anyone think that that's bad for that part of town? I mean, anyone? And now the WNBA jumping both feet into it, and we're renovating Moda Center, we're renovating the Coliseum, which is going on right now. How much money is being dumped into that neighborhood between the Rose Quarter and Lloyd Center by the city and Phil Knight? And now we're doing how much money being dumped into the OMSI area over there? We have the Tillicum Bridge, one of a kind. And now you're potentially talking about having a 33-acre plot developed down there. I know this city took some black eyes, but before that, dude, this was an amazing city, and people talked about it as an amazing city, and it still is. And I think we've got to start turning the page on this negative connotation that nothing can ever get done in this city. There's a reason why people loved coming here. There's a reason why this city was once viewed as a crown jewel, right, of the Pacific Northwest. And just because you had a couple bad years doesn't mean that nothing good can ever happen here. That's just silly. And I think you're starting to see some people, whether they're going to build the new amphitheater right downtown, the little the concert menu down there.
The Live Nation one.
The Live Nation one.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. People are betting on this city. And they always say, dude, when, you know, the only good thing about getting knocked down is when you get back up. And it feels like you said, it feels like there's some positive momentum here. And, you know, look, and this may be for naught, because maybe Salt Lake just has a better plan and, you know, Salt Lake beats us out. But he also said that really the only competition right now is you and Salt Lake. It is between you and Salt Lake. And so I don't know, I'm glad that they're still pushing this and going, you know, both feet into the deep end and see what happens here. Because this is an amazing city, and I think we're starting to get some W's. I think we're on the comeback.
Imagine if Phil Knight then buys the Blazers.
Oh, my God.
Within the next, you know,
amazing.
5 years.
Amazing.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah. Reasons to be optimistic. We now know who doxed Dan Campbell.
Jerk ass.
Doxing is when you put someone's private home address online.
Well, and you're putting people at risk.
Well, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
In some places, it's illegal. Yes. Now, in this instance, it is not.
Yeah.
But it was a high school male classmate of Campbell's daughter.
Yeah.
And he posted on Snapchat, after they lost in the playoffs to San Francisco, he posted, quote, dumb F trying to go for it.
Yep.
And that was accompanied by their home address. Well, several people showed up to his house that night, including this kid, who he and his friends were there yelling not so nice things towards the house. Now, the Campbells were in San Francisco.
But his daughter was home.
But his daughter was home. And so she called Dan, and Dan said, hey, get the hell out of there. Police then had to kind of protect the house for a couple of days. They said the incident didn't meet the standard to file criminal charges, but this is, you know, some high school kid who's in the Campbell's daughter's class.
So pathetic. So they went and they found him. They tracked him down, and he said, quote, I thought it would be funny.
Yep.
You know, that's, I just, how pathetic.
So the Campbells had to sell their house.
Yeah, because they said that it's multiple people have still come by, and he just said that just there's been some threats, and it just, it's too uncomfortable. And so,
and yeah, now they live on 8 Mile.
They sold it, and hopefully this one keeps quiet. But I mean, isn't that pathetic that, like, if you're now a member of that family, you can't share your address with anybody? I mean, for a friend to do that, man,
yeah,
that's some scumbaggery behavior. I mean,
if you wanted to find out Dan Campbell's address,
you probably could.
You could.
But that's the thing is, this
but posting it is something different. Yeah,
it's one thing if you got some stalker piece of crap that's out there digging around, but for a high school classmate, a friend that's been there that knows the address, to think it's hilarious to post that and then not think that some weird fans are going to show up. I mean, think how uncomfortable that is for his daughter who's home alone, and all of a sudden people start showing up in your driveway yelling and screaming. And I'm sure that most of that is just, you know, again, fans being jackasses. But for a high school girl being home alone, I guess her boyfriend was there. You know, that's just, you can't be doing that stuff. So I don't know.
Do we not think Dan Campbell lives behind a gate?
He does now.
He does now.
Okay. He didn't.
But he didn't before?
No.
Wow.
No.
I mean, you probably didn't. Not everyone, not every, you know, coach or player. Like when I'm
not even saying people want it, but it just feels like with that much money, you probably have one.
Well, when I my only two people that I spent any kind of time with, two teams, were the Broncos and Buccaneers, and none of those guys. Well, I can't say none. Most of them didn't live behind gates. You'd be shocked at how normal. I mean, some of the guys lived in apartments. Some of the guys lived in condos. Some of them just lived in normal neighborhoods. I mean, Not every player and coach lives in a $12 million mansion with, you know, big secure gates. It's just not a...
I'm always rather surprised. You know, it's always interesting to see where guys live.
Yeah.
Professional athletes. Yeah. And sometimes, I think more often than I am the other way, I'm always like...
It's normal homes.
That's where he lives?
Yeah. Well, remember,
that great.
You know, well, not everyone makes, you know, just more money than God. And a lot of guys don't make it their permanent
home.
How
much does God make, do you think?
I think God makes a lot.
Who pays him?
I think Joel Osteen pays him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I feel bad, but I'm glad
that got time for that.
They sold the home, I guess, within one day, and they got another place that's a little more private and behind a gate. And
all right, let's crown Jaden Daniels, my guy. MVP.
You should have. We got to see if we can find. Buck, will you go see if you can find the Ryan Clark clip?
Yeah, no problem.
Look for that.
We'll get to that next to wrap up the hour on The Fan. Well, my Commies win last night in Cincinnati. Bengals now 0-3.
I think once since 2000 has a team started 0-3 and made the playoffs. And I think four times in modern football since like 1980-something has it happened. So,
who was the 0-3 team that made it?
The Houston Texans. I believe that was Deshaun Watson and company made it. So this is...
Yuck.
You know, this is kind of an unmitigated disaster. I know Cincinnati has slow starts, but and their schedule is pretty soft. So I'm not going to say, with especially with the 17 games, that it's over. But here's the problem with Cincinnati, and because I thought Cincinnati with a healthy Joe Burrow, right, was going to be a real contender. So far through 3 weeks, it really hasn't been their offense. It's been their defense, and there's real problems on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm not certain that those are going to get fixed. So. I mean, I'm not ready to completely stick a fork in them, but the fat lady is warming up for the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're going to go on a run here because, again, their schedule is pretty soft, but I can't really, because they got Carolina next. That should be a win. Baltimore will be tough, but then the Giants and the Browns, who, you know, a couple of those teams are quite bad. I just don't think their defense this year is going to give them a chance to be a playoff team, or if they find a way to sneak in, they're not for real.
Well, who cares about them? You know who is for real? Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Rookie quarterback.
He is him.
Hey, the Commies, I saw a stat about them. You know, they've scored every drive except for kneel downs,
mm-hmm.
two straight games.
Yeah. Against, again, two of the worst
every
defenses.
Drive.
But that's impressive.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
And Daniels is him. Convince me otherwise.
That's his first touchdowns that he's had. He didn't have a touchdown in the loss to the Buccaneers or the game against the Giants, where they were just kicking field goals. Jaden Daniels looks really good. He takes way too many hits, but he's completing a ridiculously high percentage of his passes. He is throwing the ball downfield, by the way.
His completion percentage is 91.
Oh, that was 91 last night.
Oh.
It's not 91 on the season.
80. 80. Sorry.
Yeah. 80. So, you know, he's looks really good. The touchdown pass in the corner against the free rusher.
Yeah. That was a great throw, man.
It's as good a throw as you're going to make. I mean, it's stupid good. And so he certainly looks the part early on. But my God, the amount of generational, never seen anything like it. Can we go back to, I don't know. Let's go back to Carson Wentz, Josh Freeman, Robert Griffin III, Vince Young, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, how many times do we have to see someone have a game or two? And this is one game against a really, really sketchy defense in Cincinnati that has had problems all year long. The defense just doesn't look good. And then we're like, well, it's him. We've never seen anything like it. Yeah, we have. We have got to pump the brakes on anointing guys after even 3 weeks. But in this case, you're really anointing him after 1.5. So of the rookie quarterbacks, make no mistake, the best one so far is Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams looks lost behind a really bad offensive line, but it's not like Jaden Daniels is surrounded by like unbelievable talent. He's got a couple good receivers, but you know, he doesn't have an elite run game and an elite O-line, and he looks the part. And so, yeah, early returns, but we just got to stop. We just have to stop with this
stuff. I'm not going
to
stop.
Well, I have your clip,
telling
Zook.
Me to stop.
I mean, Ryan Clark literally was going to have sex with the telestrator
last
night.
Ryan Clark knows ball.
He does.
You want to hear Ryan Clark?
Yes.
Let me show you what happens to mere mortals, right? A mere mortal, when staring down this rusher, they say, I can't throw it. I got to run the football. I don't want to get hit. They throw and they duck. But not this man. Not Jaden Daniels. Not the Heisman Trophy winner. Not the man from LSU. Not the new Washington Commanders commander. What does he do? He stands there. He delivers on a big time bomb. I want you to watch this. When you see a man in this position, hold this running back right here. You see this position? This is tough. Terry McLaurin, he's looking up. He's going to track the football, understanding that it's got to come down, not straight. Boom, right here, catch, get the knee down, touchdown. And they all say amen. Hail.
Yeah.
We gotta.
I like the other guy.
Yeah. That was Van Pelt going, yeah.
Yeah, we gotta just, you know, we do this all the time.
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
A quarterback looks bad a week early on. And look, like, for example, like Anthony Richardson's going into this year. Anthony Richardson had two or three games last year where he showed, you know, a flash or two. Or he actually made a better throw than the one Daniels had last night. That touchdown pass to McLaurin in the corner that Ryan Clark was touching himself to, that is as good a touchdown pass as you will see, except for the one that Anthony Richardson threw. The one Anthony Richardson had, the 65-1 in the air while getting hurt, I've never seen anything like it. It's as good a throw as you'll ever see in the NFL. Anthony Richardson right now is a bad quarterback. And I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels looks way better than Anthony Richardson, but it's like we do this all the time. Every time Justin Fields does something, we're like, Justin Fields! Just let these guys...
You're just a hater.
Well, it's not. It's really... Now, all of a sudden, what are we doing with Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence does not look good. Trevor Lawrence looks broken. And Trevor Lawrence was football Jesus. And then we were like, well, I don't know, it's Urban Meyer's fault. Well, no, Trevor Lawrence right now looks like something is wrong and is not processing things and is really, really struggling, right? So, like, there will be struggles. Like, again, I'd like to point out, Jaden Daniels did not throw a touchdown pass in his first two games. Against the Cincinnati Bengals last night, he did look like football Jesus. That is one of the better games that you will see a player play. And by the way, he needed every one of those because his defense couldn't stop anyone either. But all of a sudden now we're talking about like Washington to the playoffs, not with that defense. And we're like Jaden Daniels is him. The commander's commander, a mere mortal. I mean, my God, the hyperbole that we put on these guys.
Look, I'll listen to you over Ryan Clark the second you start dressing like Ryan Clark, okay? Until then, he has my ear, not you.
All right, let me just say this for the record. You know who right now is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels? Like, threefold over, and it's not even close, and no one has said a word about him. He right now is playing the quarterback position, not in 1 week, not in two, in
Geno
3
weeks.
Geno Smith. Geno Smith, and it's weird to say this, and I'm not saying he's this. I'm saying through three games, because Josh Allen right now is the MVP of the league, correct? Like through
probably,
3 weeks?
Yeah.
No one's playing the position better than Josh Allen. No one says that Josh Allen, unless you're a moron, is better than Patrick Mahomes. The best player in the league every year is that guy in Kansas City, number 15. It's without question. Through 3 weeks, Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL. So I am not saying that he is this, but through 3 weeks, Geno Smith is a top five quarterback in the NFL and is without debate. He is playing at a ridiculous high level, but I haven't seen one person drop an amen. I haven't had one person call him the commander, but with like
the commander's commander.
Jaden Daniels does it for one game. And I think it's unfair to Jaden Daniels because all you're doing, it's like the RG3 thing. It's like you're setting him up for when inevitably the struggle will happen, Trevor Lawrence. You're setting him up for when the struggle does come. Now we have to answer, like, what's wrong with Jaden Daniels? Nothing. He's a rookie. There's going to be some ebbs and flows. Even C.J. Stroud right now, who had the best rookie season of a modern quarterback we've ever seen. And C.J.'s still playing at a pretty high level. Right now, the Texans offense, it's a little spotty. And I promise you, as good as he looked, there are going to be some struggles coming from Daniels. And we just have to accept that instead of having one game. And because it was on Monday night and the other game was a blowout, all the spotlight. But if this game was sandwiched in one of the seven morning games on Sunday, we wouldn't be doing
it. I want to give you the top six quarterbacks in QBR for the first 3 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Is number one.
Yes.
His QBR is 133.
He's ridiculous.
Number two, Andy Dalton.
It's one. Okay.
Number three, Sam Darnold.
And yes, either three games has been amazing.
Number four, Derek Carr. Number five, Jaden Daniels. And number six, Baker Mayfield. I rest my case.
By the way, did you see the Saints offense come here? Crashing down last week.
Yeah, dude. But that's okay. Derek will be back. My guy, Derek. I just think it's funny. Look at those names.
Yeah. Well, the Dalton one is weird because it's 1 week.
Well, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
I mean, yep. If I told you this last year.
Nope.
And last year, I told you this. You'd be like, what?
I would have, and there were a lot of people that were like, oh, here comes the Sam Darnold renaissance. And I said, dude, show it to me. Prove it. And again, I don't do anything after 3 weeks, but through 3 weeks, I said it on Monday, there is not a better coach team right now in this league on both sides of the ball than the Minnesota Vikings. What they're doing with what they have, it's the most impressive job in the NFL, and it's not even close.
Can you name the 4 quarterbacks worse than Deshaun Watson?
Boy, there's 4 quarterbacks worse than Deshaun Watson.
Believe it or not.
That's becoming a situation, by the way, that if you're Cleveland, you're going to have to come up with some hard truths real fast because he is.
Well, yeah, he's terrible.
He is dog ass.
So he's at 71.4. There are 4 quarterbacks worse.
Bryce Young.
He's the worst. 44. His quarterback rating is 44.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to know how bad he is, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a fine quarterback. He's a borderline starter, best backup in the league. But the fact that he came in and did that, that lets you know just how truly awful Bryce Young was.
Well, the fact that, like, the sports books said if there, before the change, if there was one, that the lines would be more favorable with their to the Panthers with their backup in than with their starter in.
Yes.
Yeah. He is all kinds
of
awful.
So the other 3, worse than Deshaun Watson.
Worse than Deshaun Watson. So let's go through. So Bryce Young.
Justin Fields?
No.
Justin Fields has actually been
pretty
good.
Winning, but I didn't think he'd been doing much.
No, he's fine.
He's 13th.
He's fine.
Right ahead of Geno Smith.
What about Daniel Jones?
No.
Will Levis?
No, believe it or not.
Caleb Williams, perhaps?
Yes. And Caleb Williams.
And Bo Nix will probably be on there.
Bo Nix. And
who else we got? Who
Richardson?
Anthony Richardson.
Oh, there you go.
Those are your 4 worst.
And I hate to be the one to say I told you so, but, you know, because, look, I'm wrong on lots of things. The Anthony Richardson stuff, speaking of, I don't know why everyone was freaking out. And he may eventually get it because the raw skills are off the chart. He is a bad quarterback. He was a bad quarterback last year. He's a bad quarterback this year. He's a phenomenal athlete with a great arm. That is a bad, bad quarterback. And
well, but just like Jaden Daniels, you're saying that, hey, slow down.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
he could.
Maybe Richardson will pop.
He may pop, but when you watch, even when you watch like Caleb Williams play, who's rough right now, there are signs. You can see Williams kind of working through some things. I think there's some positive signs there. Jaden Daniels just looks really good. He looks really polished. He looks like in command of it. When you watch Anthony Richardson play, it is, I don't know if I've seen worse decision-making process on a snap-by-snap basis. I mean, it's like, well, Will Levis in moments, it's really bad. And that's when you just know that he just hasn't played that position very much. And he's woefully inaccurate. I mean, he may be a guy eventually, but if he closes that gap, it will be one of the great stories in NFL quarterback development that we've seen in years. And to be fair, Josh Allen did that. Josh Allen closed that gap. I don't know if it was quite this, but this is a significant gap, and he's got a ways to go.
All right, let's kick off the club talking pizza. We have a new best pizza city in America next on The Fan.